Hi, I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW Community Radio. I am here with Barb Carey from the Community Helpers Food Bank in Brookings Harbor. How are you, Barb?
I'm great, Scott. Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to see you. So you want to tell us a little bit about who you are, Barb, and how you became to be involved at the food bank?
Well, I have lived in the Brookings area since 2000. And when I was getting ready to retire, I had my work was phasing down, and I decided to do some volunteering at the food bank. And so I started with that. And then once my retirement was effective, I took Master Gardener training, and I did that in 2013. And part of the Master Gardener training is for you to identify what are you going to do with the knowledge that you gain. And for me, it was kind of a no-brainer that I could take this knowledge that I had gained from the Master Gardeners and apply it to the food bank. And so that's what I did. And with the help of many others, yourself included, we started a garden program at the food bank.
Oh, cool. Like, I haven't been there and didn't help start it. But that's really awesome that there's a garden there now. So it's been 2 years, yeah?
It has been 2 years. This is our third growing season. So we started right in 2013, and we put in two raised beds, 4x8 raised beds, and then a smaller bed, 2x2, and started out that first year growing. And really, we look at it as a demonstration garden for our clients. One of our big things is the educational component of how do you grow your own food, how to raise food literacy for our clients.
So why the smaller bed?
The smaller bed is actually for the, we have a daycare next door. And so there's all kinds of, you know, the little ones running around, and they were very, very interested in these beds being built and things growing. And so we invited them over so that they could have their own little 2x2 bed, and they could plant some of their own things in there. So there was radishes that were growing, and sunflowers, and things that would come up quickly and just have a real wow factor for the kids. So
the sunflower was really cool, and I remember their faces when they saw it. They could look through the fence, and they would be like, that's our sunflower.
And there were probably about 12 kids that participated in that, and each and every one insisted that they were the one that planted that sunflower seed. But the plant grew to be 8 feet tall, I think. It had a huge flower on it. So it was really fun, you know, and the way that the sun went, over the garden and over the houses there, that sunflower faced the daycare and their play yard. So it was really neat.
Oh, that's very cool. I love sunflowers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is the third growing season. And you all are just finishing off a greenhouse, yeah?
We are. We had a greenhouse that was donated to us last year by one of our clients who was moving out of the area. And she asked if we would want to have that. So my husband and I and another master gardener and her husband, we went over there and disassembled the greenhouse and brought it over. As it turned out, much of the wood for that was rotted. So we weren't really able to use a lot of that. So we had to, make a new frame for it. And so anyways, that was in the process and being worked on. And in the meantime, We worked at preparing the space and putting in the footings for the greenhouse. And, you know, we've had some great community partners over the years. And Curace Hardware was one of them who really helped us by selling us things at their cost or donating items. So it was very helpful for us because we have no budget when it comes to these things. So, yes, we've got the greenhouse. It's about, I'd say, 75% complete at this point.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember when we were first talking, Julie Davis, when she was still with us. And I remember she was the one who gave Barb and I the, you know, she gave you and I the go ahead to do this. And mm-hmm. I remember her saying, this program has to be sustainable. If this garden doesn't sustain itself, we don't have the budget. And so, yeah, it was really kind of told to us up front because Barb and I, you know, we were, you and I were both volunteering there, a couple of years ago and we were there on the same days and, just kind of talking about what we could do. And
right.
It's just so interesting how it's taken off so fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've kept at it. We've kept at it. We've kept working at it. And, you know, we have a real generous community. We have people that, you know, volunteer money and time and the things, the building materials and seeds, all of that. So it really helps it to get those legs and mm-hmm. keep on going.
Who are some of these groups or things that you said community partners, and I know that people have participated and donated stuff. Do you want to list for our listeners who some of those are? Or?
Well, I did mention Ace Hardware.
Yes.
And your father was actually instrumental in helping us get those beds built.
He donated the redwood. I miss you, Daddy.
He donated the redwood.
Cut the wood. We cut the wood together. I remember he was sick with his brain tumor, and he was volunteering his time to make those raised beds because he didn't want to let me down because he knew he'd promised to do that. And I knew he was sick, and I knew he was pushing himself to get it done and finish mm-hmm. what he committed to do. But I knew he was in a lot of pain. So yeah, thank you for acknowledging him.
Oh, absolutely. And to me, it's, that redwood came from an old barn, if I'm not mistaken, that he had helped mm-hmm. to take down.
Yeah. Someone was going to burn it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was a 100-year-old barn. So mm-hmm. what better thing to use than something like that has a wonderful history, you know, to build those beds. Because if that barn lasted for 100 years, those beds will last for another 100 years easily. So there was your dad. And then as far as community groups, Rotary is a big one. They have a seed program that they run every year, and it comes out of Coos Bay, but we can request seeds from them, which we do every year. In addition, we have Fred Myers has donated seeds for our program also, and we had soil and
seeds.
And seeds that came from
Del Kerr. When we first did it. Because he was still working there. My dad was still alive, and he'd worked there for 30-odd some years.
Right.
Like 36 years or something.
Right.
A long time. And he talked to them and got them to give us, I think it was a little bit of a discount, actually, on the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And then he actually, you and your husband, you didn't mention you and John, bought some of the soil as well. And my dad also, cause right. It takes a few yards of soil to fill
it
a raised bed. And
it does. Yeah.
We realized that. And so he, you know, he kicked in a yard. I think you all helped with a yard or two. And so, yeah, there were a lot of individuals that donated their time. So
yeah,
we're very grateful to Del Kerr for kind of believing in the project to start when other people were kind of like, really, you're planting a garden at the food bank? Why and where?
Yes. Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of space there, right?
No, there's
like,
not a lot of
space. People might wonder, like, if they've been to the space on Hemlock, it's 534 Hemlock, isn't it? 539 hemlock. Mm-hmm. And so there's not a lot of like growing space. It's kind of a cramped area.
Well, it is, but the thing that really struck me was we have along one side of the building, it's just gravel and rock mm-hmm. along there. And that was put in many years ago to keep the weeds down.
Which it wasn't keeping the weeds down.
Well, no, it wasn't really quite serving
we were
its
still
purpose.
Needing to weed it
yes.
anyway.
and you know, and it just wasn't, it wasn't doing anything. It was just there. It was just, you know, gravel mm-hmm. and rocks. And so to me, that's a perfect place to put in raised beds. Mm-hmm. So you put down your landscape cloth, you put your raised planter over it, you fill it with dirt, and there you go.
And I remember the class we had with Jennifer Ewing on mm-hmm. how to build a raised garden bed at
right.
the food bank.
Right.
So there's been some classes there. I don't know if any classes have happened there recently, but we did a few that year, I think.
Yeah, the first year we did the building a raised bed, and we did a class on composting, and I think there was a class on seed saving mm-hmm. also.
Yeah.
So we did that, and that was really our big startup effort and to get people, you know, into what we were doing. Since that time, we really haven't had any classes. Of course, this summer, OSU and the Master Gardener Organization are doing classes at the library on different topics. And that's happening throughout the summer months. So there's that. So there's still that local education component that's going on.
So if people want to find out more about these, because I there's a few left, right? I know you and I are talking on this Saturday. If this podcast airs after Saturday, we apologize that you're finding out about our presentation on this same subject at the library. But I think they have the schedules at the library, yeah, where people can find out
they do,
what
they
the classes
do.
Are?
Yes. And then the pilot, the Curry Coastal pilot, is also posting for the upcoming classes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, yeah, that's very cool. It's very cool that they're having garden education in Brookings, because that was one thing that when I took the Master Gardener program after you took it the following year, it was one of the things that I talked with them about was we really need to get more things happening in Brookings because this is the population center.
Absolutely.
All these people were going up there for the class, and then we were coming back down here, and there's really cool things happening in Gold Beach, but most of the people that took the class were from this part of the county.
Yes.
And so it was just very frustrating that if we wanted to get involved in any projects, we had to go north every
right.
single. And I realized
right.
they sometimes have to come south as well, but it's really inconvenient if you're trying to volunteer for something, if you always have to drive a half hour in an area where there's not big commutes oftentimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So have you found any challenges with the garden at the food bank?
Well, you know, there's always challenges. There are the physical challenges of the deer that happen to wander through every so often. And so we have to make sure that our beds are protected. Sometimes we have problems where a client will let his dog sleep in one of the raised beds. And then, you know, they have to be told that they can't do that. You know, the physical growing part of it has been pretty easy and pretty good. Where we've got our beds situated, they're between two buildings. So it's a bit of a windbreak. We don't have to fight the wind quite so much as you do, you know, on the sides of the building or for exposed beds. So the growing part has been fairly easy.
And are the clients receptive to the stuff that's grown?
Absolutely. We get a lot of feedback from people, especially when I'm out there and working and stuff, because everybody wants to know, well, what is this? What's growing? I would like to try this. So In addition to having our beds, which are they're demonstration beds, but we grow food to supplement and provide fresh offerings for the food bank. In addition to all of that, we also have what I call a seed bank. So you come to the food bank to get your food, and I have a big box that has seeds in it. So everybody that comes through can take a couple packets of seeds and grow their own. So in addition to that, I have educational materials that are out, what to grow at various times of the year, when to plant them, how best to plant them, how to build a raised bed so they could do it on their own if they chose to. If you wanted to garden in a container, I have directions on container gardening. So I try to glean as much usable and useful information as I can so that people can have that available to them also. So we've had just a tremendous response with the seed bank part of it, because people will come and they'll do seed starts, and they'll even bring me back plants that they've started at home, and they'll bring them to me and say, well, can you use them? And of course, I always could use them. So I never turn down a plant or a seed or anything like that. So, you know, we get a real good response, and it's a nice dialogue to have with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think as well, just from the times that I've been there and interacting with people kind of around the whole subject, sometimes it can be hard when you're low income, right? And
absolutely,
going to a food bank, because yeah, you're kind of getting stuff that's oftentimes past the best if used by date, which really isn't an expiration date, but it's the, you know, the date that they have to pull it off the shelves for sale.
Right.
And so when you're getting all of these, you know, things in cans and packages and things that aren't quote unquote the freshest things, the opportunity for these people to have some more dignity and actually get something that's organically grown right mm-hmm. there on the site, that wasn't on a truck. It actually was right there, and they got to see it right when they would come, and they could see it grow throughout the season. That impacts me a lot, right?
Yes. I really agree with that. And, when someone can take some responsibility for providing for themselves, and it's so easy to do when mm-hmm. you garden, that I just think that raises the whole dialogue for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand that when somebody comes into a food bank, they're getting their food and they're hungry, you mm-hmm. know. But by providing the seeds, seeing how plants grow, they can then take that and take it home and hopefully learn to become a little bit more self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that in just the stuff that we've been talking with the statewide Oregon Food Bank, mm-hmm. right? We're lucky in Oregon that we have a statewide food bank that works on a lot of these kind of bigger systematic issues with hunger. And one of the things that I've heard at conferences and things with them is it's not just about the food box, right? Because the food box is the immediate need, right?
Absolutely.
As you said, the person's coming in and they're hungry at that moment.
Right.
But what can we do to innovate and be creative? There's a lot of people in Oregon that are on what people might know as food stamps, but it's now the SNAP program.
Correct.
Or also known sometimes as EBT, but it's technically called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And it's really amazing to think that as a state, we're kind of talking about how we move beyond just giving them a can of food, right?
Absolutely.
And so this is a whole state is kind of becoming aware, because these gardens are popping up in mm-hmm. different food banks and different churches all over the state. And that's what's really exciting. So
yes.
I'm glad that we, you know, Barb and I didn't know that when we, you know, when we first approached Julie about this, we had no idea. And then all of a sudden, Julie started sending us links. You and I actually remember our trip down to Humboldt County.
Oh, I remember that trip.
Food for People is what it's called. Yeah, it's their countywide food bank. And do you want to tell them a little bit about what you experienced that day?
Well, that was a very interesting trip. First of all, to see how a food bank runs in another state, right? Mm-hmm. You're down in California. It's very, very different from how we run our food bank in Oregon and in Brookings in particular. So there was that part of it. And, you know, the warehousing aspect of it.
Which was huge.
It was like going into Costco, you know, and they had forklift trucks moving food around. And it was just, it was mind-boggling. Yeah. It really, really was. But they have a gleaning program that is part of their food bank. And so they have a group of volunteers, pretty much younger people. Mm-hmm. And they would get calls in from whomever, you know, it could be somebody that just had fruit trees in their backyard, which was our experience. And they would go and then glean whatever was off of those trees. So you and I went with one of the volunteers to this elderly woman's house, and she had 8 apple trees in her backyard, something like that.
We picked so many apples that day.
I had no
idea what we were getting into.
Oh, yes. That was the last time I did a road trip.
That's the last time I'm going anywhere with Scott. I've heard that before.
Oh, I think we picked like 1,500 pounds of apples.
Oh, yeah. There was like those big, like, I don't know how many gallons. Like, those big 10-gallon buckets or whatever with the rope handles.
Yeah.
There was like 10 of those or something. It was a ridiculous. And she kept looking at us like, you're done? And we're like, we're exhausted. We just drove 2 hours and we came to look at your food bank, I appreciate volunteering, but we were over at that lady's house for hours.
Oh yes. Hours.
And I didn't know it was just going to be the two of us and her.
Right.
Like, it was just the three of us. I mean, it was fun because we got to learn a lot from her.
Yes.
But yeah, it was an interesting experience to see someone else's gleaning program work.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And so for me, what I took from that experience was it's a marvelous thing to have a gleaning program. You need to have a fairly big, dedicated body of people to be able to successfully do something like that. So we've never really embraced that part of it because it is almost overwhelming. And of course, we have mostly elderly people who are older people who are volunteers at the food bank. So, we just really haven't been able to pursue that.
So if anyone's listening and is of my generation or younger and is interested in this project, Barb and I would really love, because we get approached all the time. I have people asking me regularly, I got stuff at my house. Can you, and if it's a little bit, but I did it one time for a lady and I wasn't far from the food bank. And I thought, I'll pick, you know, 2 buckets at a time. Took me an hour to pick 2 buckets off of her apple trees. And I didn't even get half of her apples picked.
Right.
It takes because you're picking it and you have to go and pick and pick. And so it's a lot of work to glean, although it was appreciated.
Absolutely.
At the food bank, right?
Absolutely.
But it just takes time to harvest.
Yes. Well, we have a number of community members who they like to garden, and they'll grow extra stuff, and they will bring us, you know, greens and lettuce and beets, kale, chard. Of course, last fall was, you know, the phenomenal apple harvest. So we had apples from everybody. People would come in and say, well, I've got trees and they're just groaning with apples. Do you want them? And we would say, absolutely. This spring, it was the lemon trees. Everybody's lemon trees produced like crazy. So, you know, we take all of that and we appreciate it.
So if someone is growing, you know, carrots or whatever in their yard, and maybe they're not a fan of carrots or they have a whole bunch of extra ones, the food bank will take those?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. And donations of fresh vegetables, fresh fruit is gladly accepted.
Wonderful. That's awesome. And we're actually about to have a mural completed for the food bank. They're on Railroad, on the side that faces Railroad, on the backside of the warehouse right there. Mm-hmm. There's a young woman. She's a senior this year. I think she just graduated. Her name's Erica. Spetzler, her parents own our natural farm out in Harbor, and they go to the farmer's market sometimes, Gary and Becky. And their daughter, Erica, is an artist, and so she has done a garden mural for the food bank. And this was one of Julie's dreams for a long time, and I just happened to be on the public art committee, so I said, hey, we need a food bank mural. So it's, from what I understand, this end of the summer, it's supposed to be finished and going up. So I'm really excited. So that'll be another, hopefully, advertisement on the food bank for people that drive by to get them thinking of, you know, it is, cans of food are great, but it is also about what can we do, you know, with this great growing climate we have, because we can grow all sorts of stuff here.
Oh, absolutely. We can grow all year round. And then, of course, with us having the greenhouse now, we'll even be able to do more during those colder winter months.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
That's wonderful. I am Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. If you are enjoying these programs, please donate to KCIW. We really appreciate your donations. And we are working on getting an actual radio antenna. So other than these podcasts, which are wonderful, we'd like to actually be on the radio waves. And that's our ultimate goal. So please help us make that a reality. I am here with Barb Carey from the Community Helpers Food Bank here in Brookings Harbor at 539 Hemlock. If anyone wants to donate their food money or fresh produce, they'd be more than happy to accept. So Barb, where do you see, now that the greenhouse is going and things seem to have progressed so quickly in the last couple of years, what do you see? Is there like a next thing after the greenhouse? Have you thought? Because I've been kind of focusing on the garden at the church, right? The garden chair.
Right.
I haven't been as involved with the garden at the food bank since we got it off the ground. And we had kind of agreed, right? So listeners, don't think I abandoned you. It was just, we felt like that was going and it had the support that it needed. And we had this great opportunity at St. Timothy's to do the community garden share. And so I went off to get that one going. So what's the next thing, or have you thought about that?
Well, I haven't really thought about what is next, because the greenhouse isn't quite done yet. And so I want to get that up and functional and successful, and make sure that we've got a fairly smooth running program. One of my concerns is probably volunteers, other gardeners that will come in and help. We don't have a real big area, but it takes input, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to be doing something, you know, at least 3 times a week, if not more. So some of my master gardener friends have helped out, and so I'm hoping to be able to pull some of those people in and have them become regular participants in it, and, you know, and then welcome other ideas that people would have as far as moving forward. You know, once we get everything up and functional, where do we go from here? What else do we do? One of the things that I was thinking is that starting, in addition to our seed bank, is also having starts, growing starts, and having plants. So the seeds go out the door pretty quickly. So it would be nice also to start plants and have some of those kinds of things available to people also. Because not everybody, some people are intimidated by taking seeds and putting them, you know, in the ground and getting them to grow, but they're fine with plants. So that's the other part. You know, I want to make sure that we can get a fairly steady supply of starts for people also.
Cool. That's exciting. You all just, I think you mentioned we were on KURY the other morning. I guess that was just yesterday, actually.
Yes, yesterday. Yesterday.
Monday was a long day. And you talked about, you actually did give away strawberry starts.
I did. I gave away strawberry starts. Those actually came, well, some of them came there from the food bank because we have a wooden tub that's filled with strawberries. And of course, they sent out all kinds of runners. So I cleaned those up and took the little runners with the plants on them and potted those. And then I had a bunch of strawberry plants at home. So I took those, cleaned them up, potted them out. So we had a couple dozen strawberry plants that we gave out to earlier in the spring.
That's cool. And a lot of people love strawberries, and that's something that's kind of easier to grow.
It is.
That doesn't require a lot of attention, right? Some things require more attention.
Right.
And some things are just easier to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And strawberries are one of those things that are pretty simple to grow. So it sounds like you all could maybe use some financial support with the greenhouse.
Is that
what I'm picking up?
Yes, absolutely. We can always use financial support. We've gotten some nice donations already, monetary donations for the greenhouse, and that's allowed us to get to the place that we're at today. We still need to be able to finish, you know, the last wall of the greenhouse, so to speak, the door, and put in the shelving, and there'll be one raised bed along one side of the wall in the greenhouse, and then also for the water. You know, we're going to put in drip irrigation in there. So, you know, there's all of that, the tubing, the timer, all of that sort of stuff. So, yes, we have on the Brookings Harbor Community Helpers webpage, are always posting where we're at, what we're doing, and we tell people that any donation, no matter how small, makes a big difference.
Yeah, especially in a community where there's a lot of people that are served, and I don't know if you came prepared to talk about that at all, but we have for the size of our community, there's a lot of people that utilize that food bank.
There are a lot of people. And I actually do have our statistics from 2014. So this is about as recent as you can get. And during 2014, we had a total of 7,616 households that were served. The number of people served were 22,078. The number of boxes that we gave out in 2014 were 3,545 boxes. That was a 2% increase from year to year, from 2013. So the numbers continue to grow. And
22,000?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there only 23,000 people in Curry County?
Well, but you have to understand that on a monthly basis, somebody might come in to get their food box,
mm-hmm.
but then they can also come in on a daily basis,
okay.
and get food for that day. So when we say that number of people served, there's a lot of repeats
okay.
in there. So to me, probably the more significant figure is the number of boxes, because that's...
What was the number of boxes?
It is 3,545.
Wow. So that's, we're figuring, you know, 7,000 people, just to round up in the city limits. That's half of our population of just Brookings, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is... And these are the people that, because there's a stigma as well if someone hasn't ever used a food bank.
Right.
Right. I remember when I first used a food bank in Portland, there's a stigma with it because you think, oh, well, you know, I'm too proud, or I don't need to do it, or I don't know how to do it.
Right.
I think that's a big part of, you know, the whole process is knowing that you can access it and knowing that it's okay to access that. And that's how I, you know, came to be involved with volunteering in the food bank and meeting you. So that number probably doesn't reflect the people that either can't get to the food bank between 10 and 1 Monday through Friday, and also people that, you know, think that they're, you know, that's just not my place to go because I don't need that. Right? It's a pride thing and stigma, like I talked about.
Well, there is a lot of pride, and yet, we have any number of people who, if they don't have to come in, they won't. Oh, I was able to make it this month and I was fine. But, you know, for whatever reason, then, you know, there might be gaps of 2 or 3 months between when people come in. There are some people that absolutely need to use the food bank every month. I think probably the majority of the people actually don't even use the food bank every month. They use it truly as it's intended for emergency food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really the purpose of it. And I think that's the big thing that the Oregon Food Bank is trying to do again, is this whole idea of, with these gardens everywhere, like demoing, that there's other ways.
It's
not just the canned food, but there's other ways we can grow food. And there's all these seeds. I mean, there's just a huge donation again that came in. I mean, you're experiencing it, I'm experiencing it, as people find out about these gardens we're doing, seeds just kind of are coming out of everywhere.
Right.
And it's really awesome that people care so much and businesses care so much to donate what's left over at the end of the season to these projects that we're doing to feed people.
Well, I think the thing that was revealing to me is that the seed companies don't want the seeds back at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, they don't.
They just don't want them. And it used to be that they would come to the various outlets and they would collect the seeds at the end of the season. They probably just discarded them, but now they don't even come and pick them up. So the owner of the business is just left to deal with them however they want to. So, you know, they'll put them on sale or whatever, but there's always things that are left over. So many of the businesses just say, rather than us having to deal with it, we'll just give it to you, which is great. Yeah.
Well, and at least it's not going in the garbage.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
That broke my heart with one of the places that we recently got a donation from. They were throwing them in the garbage before. And it just, that makes me sad that, you know, seeds that are this current year, right? It's not seeds that aren't any good anymore from a few years ago. These are current seeds that are going in the trash because they didn't know where to send them.
Right.
And it's cool that we're helping them close some of those loops to kind of prevent some of that waste from happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I know that you came prepared with a lot of notes and a lot of other things. Is there anything, as we come to the end of the podcast, that we haven't talked about that you feel like is important to mention? Or,
well, I think what I wanted to impart to everybody is, what can you do to help the food bank? And so what I would like to see is, you know, we have a community of wonderful gardeners, and some people like to grow flowers, some people like to grow veggies. If you're a veggie grower, plant a row for the food bank and grow that, and then donate after it's all grown and ready to be harvested, donate to the food bank. We're open Monday through Friday from 10 to 1. If you have fruit trees that are producing too much fruit, pick that fruit, bring it to the food bank. We will gladly accept it. You know, my motto is no food left behind. Whether it's a seed, a plant, something that you've harvested, this is good quality food. These are the kinds of things that we need to be offering to people so that they have fresh choices and know what good things taste like and what food should really taste like instead of green beans from the can.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if anybody has any questions about what could they grow, if they need seeds, anything like that where we can raise the food literacy for everybody, I'm at the food bank Mondays and Wednesdays from 10 until 1, and I would be happy to provide you with seeds and any educational materials that I've got.
So people can just come in and ask for Barb on Mondays and Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
And you'll talk with them about this project and getting them going on it on their own at home?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool that you're so passionate about this and sharing your knowledge, because I think that's where it comes from, right? Is those that, because I'm passionate about feeding people, but I'm not a gardener, right? Mm-hmm. And so everybody keeps asking me all these questions. I don't know, because I've never done this before. I just saw a chance to bring people together. And after talking to you and talking to other people in the community, oh, there was obviously a need. So why don't we, you know, start doing this?
Right.
But I don't necessarily have the knowledge about gardening. But like you said, there's a lot of people in this community that do.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, everybody's got their own opinion on different things. So one person might do something a little bit differently than how I do it. But as far as I'm concerned, all knowledge is good knowledge. Mm-hmm. And with the internet anymore, there are an enormous number of resources that people can access. So that if I don't know it, you know, I'll know where to look to find it. Mm-hmm. So.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, Barb, I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you.
And I've not cried in a podcast yet, and you had me crying earlier. So thank you. You all couldn't see that because you're listening on the podcast, but it was really special. Thank you for acknowledging my dad.
Absolutely.
And his, you know, he's the whole reason why I came back here. You know,
right.
I was doing this stuff in other communities. If anybody knows my backstory of how I ended up here, and he said, we really need you here doing the same stuff here, mm-hmm. and advocating for food banks and gardens here. And I was like, I don't want to go back to Brookings. I like the city. And I ended up back here, and he lived two blocks from the food bank. And that was one of the very first things he said was, why don't you go down there and introduce yourself? And, it was really cool. Cause like the first 2 months that I was here, I volunteered there almost every single day. And I learned so much from all of you. And, I met so many really cool people. And so I'm really grateful for you all and what you do there. And for the ways you met my needs for food when I needed it, when I had moved back and I didn't have a job and
right.
things like that. So, I'm one of those, I guess, success stories that the food bank helped me sustain myself
and grow
these gardens that are, you know, popping up all over the place.
Right.
So, thank you, Barb, a lot. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So check out the food bank. The food bank, garden project is what we had initially called it, but it's kind of, the project has kind of, I guess you could say, be completed with the greenhouse. So if you'd like to donate to the greenhouse, it sounds like they need some more support.
Yes.
And the food bank can always use your donations, money, food, or obviously now produce and fruit.
Volunteer efforts.
Oh, volunteer efforts as well.
Yes.
So if anybody's listening and you're passionate about this gleaning program, it's something that Barb and I have been talking about for a couple of years, but it's this nature of, it takes some work. So if anybody's listening and knows some people that are interested that want to connect with us, I walk around town a lot. Feel free to stop me and say, hey, I heard you on a community radio podcast on KCIW, or stop by the food bank and talk to Barb on Monday or Wednesday between 10 and 1. And we'd really love to get a gleaning program going in this community, because I know we both get approached all the time about stuff on people's property that needs to get picked, that they're just, you know, they're retired or, you know, whatever the case is. And it would just be awesome if we could develop a volunteer network of people that have some ability to maybe climb up on a ladder or, you know, pick things out of a tree, because it's a little bit of work.
Yes.
Yeah. So wonderful. Thank you so much for listening. I am Scott Clapson, the community organizer on KCIW. If you enjoy these podcasts, please feel free to donate to KCIW. Help make our dreams of having actual presence on the radio waves a reality with our new upcoming antenna. And thank you so much to Barb Carey and the Community Helpers Food Bank, her husband, John Carey, who's also been very instrumental, I'm sure, in helping build the greenhouse, and all the volunteers at the Community Helpers Food Bank. We really appreciate you, and please donate to the food bank, because they really need your support. They feed a lot of people, and we're really grateful for them. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.